Shall we stand as we read just two verses tonight from Isaiah 56, verses 1 and 9. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. And verse 9, all you beasts of the field, come to devour all you beasts in the forest. May God bless the reading of His Word. Shall we bow our heads in a word of prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight and just pray that You would bless, open our hearts, give us understanding, Lord. Only as You open our eyes and our hearts to receive Your Word is the Word meaningful. Bless tonight in a special way. We give You the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The two verses that I read, and of course those in between, we had those last week. I just wanted to say, possibly a couple of you weren't here for last Sunday night. We know that His salvation is about to come as Isaiah is speaking from the Lord's point of view. And we know He calls for one form of judgment as He calls the beasts to devour. Now, He calls for this, and we're going to look in Ezekiel 14 at the last four verses. Ezekiel 14, this is from last week too, just a short review. But this has much more than what I brought out to you before, and so I pray that we can have understanding. I was trying to bring out last week more that it was part of the Great Tribulation. If you remember, we checked it with Revelation chapter 6. This week, I'd like us to look closely at what it says in these last four verses, starting with verse 20 through 23 in Ezekiel 14. Even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither son nor daughter, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. I want to stop a few minutes on that verse. If you stop and think of what this says, He took three men of great importance, closeness to God, men of faith, men that God loved and had chosen for specific duties, and He said they, during this time, would only save themselves. Now, the meaning there is given that it's going to be a tough time. If we read Matthew 24 and look at what's going to happen during the tribulation, the great tribulation, that's what it describes. It says there was never one before or after. This fits right with that. Can you catch that meaning from this? It's, you know, we read it rapidly and we don't stop to think of it sometimes. When we get to 21, it says, for thus says the Lord God, how much more shall it be when I send my four severe judgments on Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, wild beast, and pestilence. And we know that those were the same four exactly that were mentioned in Revelation 6, I believe it was verse 8. There's some other little words that you may not catch unless I stop you. I want you to go to verse 15. Just look at it a minute. And it says, if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land. What word does it start with? If. I'm just going to take one more. Verse 19. Or if I send a pestilence into the land. Now let's look at verse 21. For thus says the Lord God, how much more shall it be when I send my four? Any doubt about it coming? No. When I send. Little words like that as you read. The reason I point them out is because it's so easy to read over them and not look at them. You see, it is coming. Now, He's talking to Israel. They have backslidden. They have played the harlot, gone after other gods and so forth. And He's warning them, but also He's giving them a chance on the if. But here it's when, and the time we're talking about fits with my salvation is about to come. In other words, He's moving it up and telling, because by the time you get to the Great Tribulation, Israel's salvation is very, very close, is it not? God's wrath is in between, but it's very, very close. This is another very important verse. These are all have big, mega importance in what's coming, even though it's back in Ezekiel and not in Revelation, which we usually think gives all the information. Yet behold, there shall be left in it a remnant who will be brought out. Remnant is a small number. We find that that word is used many times through the Old Testament. The same truth is taught for the church when he says, straight is a gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. This is not a message of fear. You say, it sure is. It's not meant to be. I pray about this, and I recognize that it's important to understand truth. The question was asked in one of our discussions as some of the guys were talking. I think it was Scotty that mentioned this. What if the position that the Lord is going to come before all this happens, what if it doesn't take place? What if he comes just like we're reading tonight? I believe with all my heart what I'm sharing is truth. I have yet to have somebody come with verses that say, what about these verses? But I welcome them if you do, because truth can stand examination. What I'm trying to point out is many people are going to be deceived. Many. Does the Bible say they will? Yes, we'll look at this if we get far enough on into the new scripture. There shall be left a remnant who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Surely they will come out to you, and you will see their ways and their doings, and then you will be comforted concerning the disaster that I have brought upon Jerusalem. Indeed, all that I have brought upon it. Now, this next verse is very important. And they will comfort you when you see their ways and their doings, and you shall know that I have done nothing without cause. There are times when we think the Lord just acts out of what we can understand. Am I right? Many people think that way, have all kinds of questions. But he says, then you shall know that I have done nothing without cause that I have done in it, says the Lord God. Who's the one that's going to send these judgments? God says, I am sending them. Keep that in mind, because you'll have questions on it. We want to discuss that. Okay, I'm going to read that verse 8 from Revelation, and then we'll start a couple new ones. The next one I'm going to take, it's in reverse order than what I said this morning, but I'm going to take Luke 4 after that. But we'll turn to Revelation 6 now. I'm just going to read verse 8. It's the fourth seal. And I want to point out something I don't think I pointed out last time. I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. Here we have our four things in Ezekiel. It said pestilence instead of death, but that goes along with that. And so we have four things. Now the interesting thing, power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, not over a half of the earth, not over three quarters of the earth. I hope you get my meaning. Somebody up here is limiting what power these have. And of course, who is that? God is still the one in control. Now, I want you to turn to Luke 4. And I'm going to take these as we have time. And we're just going to read three verses, Luke chapter 4. And next we'll be going to 2 Thessalonians 2, if you want to get a marker in there. So I'll try and keep you up ahead so it doesn't take you by surprise. Luke chapter 4, Christ is going through the temptations by Satan. And I'm going to start with verse 5. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I'll read that again. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Now, you say, well, the devil is a liar and a father of lies. He could say that. Would that be a temptation for Jesus if Satan didn't have this authority? Was Jesus really tempted? Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Boy, this sounds like what Jesus said this morning. All authority has been given to me. John spoke on that. Did you catch the word right before authority? This. Okay, let me read it again. Maybe I asked you the wrong question. All this authority I will give you. That's what I have. Do you have another word? Power. Yes, that's a King James translation, and that's fine. Same word. All this authority. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me. What I'm trying to point out is Satan is still under God's control. That's important to remember when things start going our way that aren't very comfortable, and when the trials come and the problems come, God is still over all. I believe this statement by Satan is true, because I believe these were true temptations. These were true trials. It would have meant bypassing the cross. But Jesus came to fulfill his Father's will, and his will too, to go to the cross. I want to point out that Satan is powerful. God is more powerful. As I reflected upon this and the difficulty of the time that will be coming, it's going to be important to know that God has truly worked a work in us. Then we have, as we had in Sunday school this morning, all kinds of promises to claim. One of the ones that was brought out was, he who has begun a good work in you will continue it until the day of Jesus Christ. When there is a work of God, remember, being born not of blood, not inherited, not of the will of the flesh, can't save ourselves, not of the will of man, we can't save somebody else, but of God. Now, we can fake ourselves out and pray a prayer, but if it's not from the heart and not a willingness to surrender, there's no change in the life, is there? Even though we do things that Christians do, and many people are going to be deceived. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says it. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonderful works, miracles? And he'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. So what we look for is the Lord taking over in our heart and changing us to where there's a new desire and a new direction and new power and leading by the Holy Spirit. Now I'm not going by my fleshly eyes. Will that ever happen? Occasionally. We make decisions and we start to wander. Some of you have really had a true experience, but you've started to wander and you've had to come back. Am I right? You've had to renew and say, Lord, forgive me. I want to be real with you. Satan has power. I'm going to say this. I believe God allows him, uses him. God said, I'm going to send. Yet this is going to come through Satan, as we'll see his wrath as he comes down. I'm going slow to give you a chance to think, because I do want to have people understand this. Not as a scare tactic. We're here. We can't be transferred back 50 years, can we? Sometimes we'd like to, and I'll admit there are times. And yet I shouldn't say that, because I'm glad I'm right where God put me, and I'm glad he's opening up the word to us. I believe that's important. Now I'd like to turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. We're still going through this rapidly compared to what could be spent on all of these. but I'm trying to point out the importance of each of these ideas. First, 2 Thessalonians 2. We're going to start with verse 1. And it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him," and I have to stop because some will be listening over the internet on this, and that phrase, "concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him," pretty much self-explanatory, but the 18 times that phrase, "the coming" or "His coming," when coming is preceded by a pronoun or the definite article, "the," it refers to what we call the rapture, the gathering together unto Him, being caught up. If there's a question mark, it's defined in 1 Thessalonians 4:15. And I'm not going to take time to go back there, but for those who might question, it'll talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, and then it'll go and give the classic rapture verses. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first," and so on. "And we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord." Comfort one another with these words. Beautiful portion. I hope you dwell on that. Okay, let's go on here. "Not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ," or some may have "day of the Lord," "had come." I don't get too discouraged or afraid that there are two different terms, because there are two different meanings. The day of Christ, generally, I think of as until Christ comes, the rapture, until we go up to be with Him, the day of Christ. The day of the Lord is generally used with God's wrath. However, they're the same day, the flip side of the same thing. How do I get that? Because in Matthew 24, both in verses 37 and 39, it talks about, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming," parousia, "of the Son of Man." And what happened in the days of Noah? As soon as the door of the ark was closed and Noah was saved, the rains came. Even as it was in Sodom when Lot was taken out, the same day fire came down and destroyed it. Even so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. As Jesus comes, we come out of the great tribulation. It tells us in Revelation 7 when you read it, verses, I think it's 9 on. And then we go to Revelation 8. There's silence in heaven for about a half hour, and then everything breaks loose, doesn't it? The trumpet judgments start. Now, I said a lot there, and it's hard to keep it in your mind, possibly, but it's something we've been over many times before. Let's go on. Verse 3, "Let no one deceive you by any means." Let me say, many are being deceived today. Many are being deceived because they're waiting to get out of here before any of the trouble starts. Can you see the danger of that? And it's going to be easy to be deceived, and they'll, you know I don't have to worry because I'll be out of here before anything happens. It would be nice. I'm ready to be out of here. But that's not what the Bible promises if we continue to go on and we live to that time. I'm not setting dates. Although God says when this stuff comes, our salvation is very near. Now, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." This verse says a lot. This is a precursor to the Antichrist, son of perdition. That day will not come except the falling away comes first. Falling away, I see, not as the unsaved lost out in the world today that are at hatred and everything that's happened. It's the church people. Now, I don't believe you can lose your salvation, which puts you in a kind of a difficult spot because it's what it sounds like. But I believe they never have been saved and they've been deceived. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, if it's the day of Christ, it's talking specifically about when Jesus comes in for the rapture. The day of the Lord, his wrath won't begin until there's been that falling away first. The man of sin be revealed? Yes. He's revealed before the day of Christ, before the rapture. Yes, people will go through the great tribulation. That's the bottom line. Again, I remind you of Revelation 7, the sealing of the 144,000, and then these multitude, which no man can number, and they're praising God and saying, salvation be to our God and to the Lamb. And they're clothed in white robes, and they have palm branches in their hand. And they're asked, the question is asked, where'd they come from? Out of the great tribulation. It's a special time to be alive. There's special rewards for those that go through this. The Bible tells us this. It's talking about the, we'll label him the Antichrist, and everybody understands, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's my emphasis on those words, but I do that because it helps me to understand that this guy is going to be proud. And he's going to stand up there, and we can read different portions from Daniel that will describe his attributes and that, and we'll see that he wants to be worshipped. He wants to be worshipped. This next section talks about the restrainer. And I won't spend a lot of time from verse 6. You know what is restraining. Verses 5, 6, and 7. And we believe it's Michael the archangel, because you can compare with Daniel 12, verses 1 and 2, about when Michael the archangel stands up or stands still, and then things begin to happen. Lawless things begin to happen. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed when the restrainer is taken out of the way, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy, or that word destroy is to make idle or render useless, with the brightness of his coming, parousia, the rapture. And so when Christ comes, the Antichrist is rendered somewhat useless. That goes along with Isaiah, where it says, God alone will be exalted. When he's pouring out his wrath, he doesn't need any other interference. He'll take care of it. And so the Antichrist at that time is rendered useless, still alive seemingly. The coming. Here we have parousia. That doesn't have to do with Christ, but it has to do with the Antichrist. The coming, same word, of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan. It's according to the working of Satan. Satan will take hold of him, and so what he does will be a result of that. Most terrible thing that can happen. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh, it's going to be easy for people to be deceived, especially if they don't know the truth. Can't you see it? Especially if they don't know the truth. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now listen carefully. Back in Ezekiel, God says, you shall understand I have done nothing without cause. Now we're going to get some of the cause of why God is working, okay? They did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Again I repeat, from Ezekiel 14:23, you shall understand I have done nothing without cause. See, people's lack of being willing to believe the Word of God, not being willing to believe, I should say, the Word of God, no love of the truth. How many times I hear people, I don't want to hear that. You ever heard that? I get it all the time. And at times it really gets to me. I feel bad because I'd like to stop preaching this. I have no joy. I do have a joy in bringing the Word of God because I know it's His Word. So I don't want to say that. But it isn't the easiest to bring the Word of God, but it never has been. Both for the prophets in the Old Testament and the apostles in the New Testament. It's never been easy. There's always been those who reject. And there's a warning here about those who do not receive the love of the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's something that is meant for all of us to know. I've got 11 minutes, 12 minutes. Don't want to cheat myself. Let's go to Revelation 12. Again, won't have time to go over all of this, but we're going to start on verse 7. And war broke out in heaven, Michael and his angels. Remember I said in Daniel, no, you probably don't, but I'll remind you, okay? In Daniel chapter 12, it starts with Michael standing up or standing still. That takes place right here in the middle of the 70th week. Michael stands still as we look at our beam up here as our seven-year period like we've done many times. When Michael stands still, he's a restrainer being taken out of the way. Then we find Michael in heaven with his angels, and he fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. So here we are in a timeline. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, and here we find him identified. That serpent of old, so the serpent in the Garden of Eden, was truly Satan. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Did you catch the import of all that verse said? Middle of this 70th week that's coming ahead sometime, begins with a confirming of a covenant, and we find that the restrainer is taken out of the world. Oh, I love to have the restrainer in the world because it keeps things kind of smooth, doesn't it? When evil is somewhat restrained, but when he's taken out, no longer here, we find him in heaven, and then even worse yet, Michael and his angels fight against Satan and his, or the dragon as he's called, and he casts them down. Let's go on. He was cast to earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accuse them before our God day and night has been cast down. No longer will Satan have any entrance into heaven before God. He's had that privilege. We saw, if we go back to Job, Satan comes before the Lord and God says, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous and none like him. And then Satan begins to accuse him. Well, you give him so much. God says, have your bit at him, do what you want, but, and he puts the limits on. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That means a real conversion. God has done something. There's a change in their life by the word of their testimony. To me, I believe that's very important, as you know, in this church. And they did not love their lives to death. They did not love their lives to death. This is not unusual in the third world countries, is it? We read over and over of those that are dying for the faith. The sad part is others are dying for their faith, which isn't true. But there are Christians who are willing to stand, and I praise God for that. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. There are churches who are the church who says that's Mary, but Mary doesn't fit in there as you go along down further. But this is Israel. And as you read verses 1 through 6, I believe you can come up with that. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness to her place where she is nourished for a time, 1 year, and times, 2 year, and a half time, a half year. So that's a total of 3 1/2 years from the presence of the serpent. So she is, the woman, Israel, is protected by God himself. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. I'm not sure if that's literal or if that's figuratively, when the enemy comes in like a flood. I don't want to make that call. But I do know that she is protected. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I believe that's the church. We are the offspring. If we are Christ, Paul tells us in Galatians, we are of the seed of Abraham, and we inherit the promise. Now, that's a very difficult thing to think about for those who want to know God's truth. On your own, I would encourage you to read chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. You have the beast out of the sea, which is again the Antichrist, and you have the beast out of the earth, verses 11 through 18, which is a false prophet, a religious leader. I mean, we all like religious leaders, don't we? And there's no greater deception than when somebody under the guise of being a religious leader comes out and says something and everybody is very quick to believe. How are we going to know truth? We're going to come back to God's Word and pray that the Holy Spirit would give us, open our eyes and give us discernment if what we're hearing is really truth. And if they start to tell us something that doesn't say it in the Word, question it. There's nothing that frustrates me more than when I hear somebody speaking and they say something that the Scripture that they point us to isn't saying, but they just kind of go over it. So I pray tonight. Is this a warning? For me, it is. Is this an encouragement to dig deeper? For me, it is. Is this an encouragement to know more of God's ways? For me, it is. And I pray for you likewise. I don't say this to scare people. I wish I could give a message that everybody loved to hear, but I'd have to cut out most of God's Word for some people. Now, for the Christian who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you desire to know truth, even though it's hard to hear. And so I pray that you were blessed by tonight's message. Shall we stand as we close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are real. I thank you, Father, for your Word. I thank you for opening it to us. And I pray, Lord, that as we weigh these things that you have given us, that it might draw us closer to you, where our true protection is, our true help is, trusting in you. Father, bless each one tonight that's come out. Bless abundantly. We pray this in the name of Jesus. and say, thank you. They answered and said, amen.